most respected, honorable Mu'takifeen, and all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran Kareem, say, addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to address the ummah. In kuntum tuhibbun Allah. If you claim that you love Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, fattabi'uni. Follow me, follow my style, follow my way of life. يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will then love you, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. When we look into the Quran Kareem and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are replete with orders to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. In the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's a very beautiful example for you. You don't have to follow the lifestyle of other people. The way of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best for you. One verse of the Quran Kareem, Allah says, وَأَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ. Obey Allah and obey the Rasul of Allah. And it's only when you obey the Rasul of Allah, you are able to obey Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And in a verse of the Quran, very clearly Allah says, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوا وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever your Rasul tell you to do, take it. Whatever your Rasul tell you not to do, abstain from it. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, تَرَكْتُ فِيكُمْ أَمْرَيْن لَن تَدِلُّوا مَا تَوَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةُ رَسُولِ. او كما قال Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I leave two things with you. If you follow these two things, you'll never be deviated. One is the Kitabullah, and the second is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat to value the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and implement it in our lives. When we analyze the condition of the ummah today, there are a lot of Muslims everywhere. Alhamdulillah, they believe in the oneness of Allah, there's tawheed. But there's one important thing that's missing in the ummah that is a cause of our degeneration. And that is the absence of the sunnah. The ummah flourished in a part because sunnah was there. And the moment the sunnah has been left out, there has been a decline and degeneration in the condition of the ummah. One sahabi who stood out in adhering to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very, very strictly, very, very closely, was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Very great, illustrious sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah was the son of Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, second Khalifa of Islam, he had accepted Islam in Makkah al-Mukarramah, and he was among the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon. Great efforts, great sacrifices were made by him. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is the brother of Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha, the Mubarak wife of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So as such, apart from being a Sahabi, also the brother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala witnessed in Makkah al-Mukarramah the oppression, the persecution that was meted out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. It was right in his own house. He's a son of his father. He saw what his father had gone through. He hated kufr and shirk. And the love of Islam, the reality and the conviction of Islam entered in his heart while he was a young boy in Makkatul Mukarramah. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he left with his father Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu to Madinatul Munawwara when Umar was making hijrat. At that time, Abdullah ibn Umar was 10 years old. As a young boy, already Iman was deep into his heart. And just to understand how deep Iman was in his heart, Battle of Badr took place. He was only 12 years old. He comes forward and he says, Ya Rasulullah, I want to take part in the Battle of Badr. Can one imagine a boy 12 years old is presenting himself in Badr? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him you were a small boy. Rejected him. But that yearning was in him. The Battle of Uhud, he presented himself again. Ya Rasulullah, give me an opportunity. You're a young boy, go away. 2 years later, when he was 15 years old, in the Battle of Ahzab, when he presented himself, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then accepted him. 1 year after that, the Bay'atul Ridwan took place. And Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala also took bayat on the hand of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all the virtues of bayatul ridwan also applies to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Wherein Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says that Allah is happy with them. Allah testified about the truthfulness in the hearts. And Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala descended sakina upon them. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala is a young boy. Before being married, his house was the masjid. He remained in the masjid all the time. Very, very close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. All the time wanting to listen to the ahadiths of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, learning from that and educating himself. After Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the sahaba that have narrated the most number of ahadiths through which the ummah benefited is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 2634 hadiths of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, apart from him being a very intelligent person, he had very, very deep thoughts. He was able to think far and his understanding was very good. In Bukhari Sharif, in Kitab al-Ilm, there is a hadith. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated among the Sahaba and somebody presented a date branch to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with dates. It was just there in the gathering. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to teach the Sahaba a lesson. He asked him, tell me of a tree that represents a believer, a mu'min. What is that tree? Haddisuni ma hiya. All the sahaba started thinking and their minds started going to various trees in the forest. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says that a thought came to my mind that it is a date tree. But I was the youngest of them all. I didn't have courage to answer. At night, when I was walking with my father, Umar, going back home, wife walked to my father. I told my father, you know that question that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked? That answer occurred to me that the date tree, but I felt that I'm too small to answer. Umar radiallahu told to Abdullah ibn Umar, oh my son, only if you would have answered me as a father, you know how proud I would have felt? Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that tree, that tree is the date tree represents a mu'min. It is like a mu'min. Muhaddithin explained the reason for that, why a khajur tree is like a mu'min. The roots of a date tree goes deep in the ground. The branches are high and it produces a fruit that is sweet and wholesome. The condition of a mu'min is just like that, that iman is deeply saturated in his heart. He exerts himself for the benefit of the ummah far and wide, his benefits reach. And the fruits of that are sweet and wholesome. And that is what a mu'min is supposed to be. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he once saw a dream. He is holding a silk cloth and he's flying everywhere. He went and told this to his sister, Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha told the dream to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to Hafsa that inna akhaka rajulun salih. Your brother, Abdullah ibn Umar, is a pious boy. Abdullah ibn Umar on another occasion saw another dream. This hadith is in Bukhari Sharif. And the background of the dream is, he used to observe that other sahaba presenting dreams to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he thought to himself, me, I get no dreams. It's not like other sahaba are seeing dreams, they're presenting it, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreting them. Why I don't get dreams? So one night before sleeping, he made dua to Allah. Allah, give me a good dream. And in his dream, he saw, he came to a place where there is fire. And there is barriers on both sides of the fire. When he goes close to a fire, he noticed that some people are burning in there and he recognized their faces. And he's saying to himself that, Inni akhafullah, I'm fearing this fire, I'm fearing Allah. Somebody told him from there, Lam tura'u, lam tura'u. You don't be afraid, you don't be afraid. He presented his dream to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala. Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala told it to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told that, your brother is a pious person, Law kana yaqumul layl. Only if he makes qiyamul layl. Only it will be good if he stands up at night and engages himself in the ibadat of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he used to see Abdullah ibn Umar, he used to say, Alhamdulillah alladhi yahdihi min ad-dalala. All praise is due to Allah that Allah has taken him out from dalala. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has guided him. This is that great personality, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever a hadith, he used to hear a hadith or narrate it, he was extra cautious. It is mentioned about him, muhaddithin mentioned, وَإِذَا سَمِعَ الْحَدِيثِ لَمْ يَزِدْ وَلَمْ يَنْقُثْ. Whenever a hadith used to be narrated, he should narrate it exactly as he heard it, no increase, no decrease. Because hadith means, this is what came out from the Mubarak mouth of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it also mentioned about him, whenever he used to narrate a hadith, there always used to be tears in his eyes. It was that feeling that he had and that sense of responsibility of narrating the hadith. Nowadays, we'll find on groups, WhatsApp groups, people get one hadith from someone in the name of hadith, and then you got a group of 100 people, 200 people, and somehow you notice it goes through whole of Natal and from Natal to Johannesburg and then to another continent. And then, say hadith. Then people inquire, is this a hadith? Only to realize that it's not a hadith. We must be very, very careful. When anybody passes something to you through the group and tell that this is a hadith, check up with the ulama, is it indeed a hadith? How can you pass it over without verifying that it's a hadith? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have mentioned, kafa bil mar'i kadiban ay yuhaddisa bikulli ma sami'a. It is sufficient for a person to be a liar that he narrates everything that he has heard. You got to verify that information. And so serious it is to convey a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Man kadaba alayya muta'ammidan falyatabawwa maqadahu minan nar. That person who deliberately spoke a lie upon me, he must prepare his place in the fire of Jahannam. How careful we must be with this and caution other people. Hadiths are such that it means that it's emanating from the Mubarak mouth and chest of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that too is being attributed to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever the Rasul says, it is coming from Allah. And you just passing information in the name of hadith. What if it's not a hadith? You are responsible for directing something to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which he didn't say. You need to exercise a lot of precaution. One person, he came to Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhuma. And he started telling to Abdullah ibn Umar that, Alam tara, Do you not see this? Do you not see that? In other words, in terms of his logic and trying to question certain things of the hadith. So Abdullah ibn Umar told him, Ij'al alam tara fi suriyya. Take all your alam tara, which means that I think like this, I think like that, take it and put it there in the stars. In other words, there's no place for logic in the face of hadiths. Hadiths, you go by it, respect what Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he was known for his zuhd, for his abstinence. He was rich, he was wealthy, but with all that, he had a great amount of zuhd in him. Once, somebody went to Iraq and came back from Iraq, and they brought a certain plant. It's called Jawarish. They presented it to Abdullah ibn Umar and told to him, this is very good for digestion. After you eat, it's very good for digestion. So Abdullah ibn Umar says, there's no need for me. For 40 years, I never filled my stomach. What am I going to eat the Jawarish for? That is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhuma. In spite of him, in his zuhd and abstinence, he had a very, very balanced approach. Somebody can have zuhd in his personal life. You don't impose it on other people. That's your personal thing. But when you're dealing with people, you deal with them in terms of what is the moderate approach and what is the balanced approach. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'anhuma, he used to associate himself with people too. Normally when a person is a zahid, you know, don't like associate with people. But that was not Abdullah ibn Umar. He used to go by what the hadith says. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, Al-mu'minu alladhi yukhalitu an-nas wa yasbir ala adahum khayrun min ar-rajul lam yukhalitu an-nas. That person who mixes up with people. And normally when you associate yourself with people, somebody may say something that's hurtful. Somebody may just conduct themselves in a way that's hurtful. Now because of that, you don't just abandon yourself and don't associate yourself with people. To stay with the people and be tolerant with that is better than that person who abandoned himself and then stay with the people. Abdullah ibn Umar was that kind of a person. In spite of him being a great zahid, he would still associate himself with people. To what extent? To what extent he should associate himself with people? In Kitab al-Salam, Bab al-Salam, there is a hadith. Ubay ibn Ka'ab's son, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his name Abu Tufail. Or Tufail. Ubay ibn Ka'ab's name was Abu, title was Abu Tufail, his son Tufail. He says, one day, Abdullah ibn Umar told me, come, let's go to the bazaar. Let's go to a marketplace. And Tufail saw, with Abdullah ibn Umar's conduct in the marketplace, you'll get two type of people doing transactions. People are selling old stuffs, people are selling new stuffs. He would pass by anyone and he would make salam. Then on another occasion, when Tufail came to the house of Abdullah ibn Umar told him, let's go to a market. So Tufail told him, Hazrat, why are you going to go to a marketplace? Last time I joined you, you don't buy anything. You don't deal with anybody. What's the point of going there? So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala mentioned to him that I only go to the marketplaces so that I could make salam with the people. Just to make salam and to get the virtue of making salam. Now look at his, on one side his attitude, he's a zahid. But on the other side, he's going actually to the marketplaces, to the shopping centers, so to say, just to meet people and make salam. Because Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, when you say assalamu alaikum, the person replies, you get 10 rewards. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, 20 rewards. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, 30 rewards. Where do you get the reward from? You have to be some way to make the salam. He said that I only go there to go and make salam with the people. That was Abdullah ibn Umar. What Nabi sallam told to do, that's what he did. He was very strict on that. Abdullah ibn Umar was also a very wealthy person. He was Zahid. Once you'll think of somebody as Zahid, a person abstaining from the dunya, you'll think that, you know, he's a pauper, poor person. But Abdullah ibn Umar was a very wealthy person. For somebody to have business transaction with Osman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala means that you got to be in that financial position. Osman radiallahu ta'ala was extremely, extremely wealthy. And Abdullah ibn Umar to deal with Uthman Uthman ibn Affan means that he was in that position to the extent they were actually exchanging lands with each other. In the hadith is there in Bukhari Sharif. Abdullah ibn Umar, the amount of wealth he had, just a way of example. He freed in his own lifetime 1,000 slaves. Not one or two, not 10 or 20, not 100, 200, 1,000 slaves he had freed. Now imagine, can we just attach value to 1,000 slaves? On one occasion, he came to one place traveling, he saw one shepherd. It was midday, it was very, very hot. Then he told that shepherd that, why didn't you slaughter one goat, one sheep here, and then, we can enjoy the meat out of it. Abdullah ibn Umar just wanted to test him out. So that shepherd mentioned, I can't do that. This goat and sheep doesn't belong to me, it belongs to my master. So Abdullah ibn Umar, just to test him out, hey, your master is not here, he's not seeing you. What is there if you just cut the goat and sheep, and then your master won't know anything about it? So that slave mentioned, Ain Allah. My master is not seeing, but my master of masters, Allah is seeing. Abdullah ibn Umar was so impressed with his answer. He goes up to the master, he buys the slave out. And then all that goat and sheep that he was that he was looking after, he bought all that out and gave that to the slave who he had freed and told him, all this is for you. This is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Somebody asked, Abdullah ibn Umar's conduct in the house, what does he do? So a person explained, described Abdullah ibn Umar. He says that al-wuzu li kulli salat wal mushaf baynahuma. That namaz time come, you should make wuzu and you should go to a masjid. And between two namazes, whenever he had any free time, the Quran was always in front of him, always making tilawat of the Quran. That was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. On one occasion, somebody read the ayat of the Quran Kareem, wherein Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, Alam ya'ni lil-lazina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li dhikrillah. Have the time not come? Has the time not come that you submit your heart, you have fear in your heart for the pleasure of, and remember Almighty Allah? He just heard this verse and he burst out crying. And like that, in the biography of Abdullah ibn Umar, there's so many such incidents on various ayat of the Quran Kareem, where he would just burst out crying because of his close taluk and association with Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Abdullah ibn Umar passed away at the age of 86. Now, he met when he made hijrat, he was 10 years old. So, about maybe 76 years after, and maybe about 70 years or more after the demise of Nabi Sassam, he lived. That time the Ummah went through a lot of challenges. There was the war of Jamal took place, war of Siffin took place. One thing Abdullah ibn Umar did, he never took part in any war. And he always tried to tell the people around him not to take part and maintain, that try to maintain a moderate approach in everything. Avoid fighting, avoid taking part of anyone, and stay away from every kind of fitna. He passed away after Hajj. At that time, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf was in Hajj. So, according to what the ulama of hadith mentioned, and some observations of how he possibly passed away, because of his prominence, everybody was around him. Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, nobody cared about him. So, somebody took a spear and hit Abdullah ibn Umar on the foot. There was poison, and that finally led to his death. Abdullah ibn Umar, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf came to see Abdullah ibn Umar when he heard Abdullah ibn Umar is ill. So, Hajjaj asked Abdullah ibn Umar, who did this to you? Abdullah ibn Umar said, you did it. You did it. Now these two interpretations of you did it, you're supposed to be there to ensure that I'm not hurt. Or probably behind the scenes, that this is what you have done. Abdullah ibn Umar passed away, and that's why I mentioned he also passed away as a shaheed. After Hajj, in Makkatul Mukarramah, he had passed away. Before he passed away, he told his children, bury me out of Makkatul Mukarramah. Now, we will think differently. You think in Makkah, you must pass away in Makkah or in Medina. He told him, bury me out of Makkatul Mukarramah. And the reason he gave, I made hijrat from here, from Makkah. And I don't want to pass away in a place where I made hijrat. I want to pass away from that place there, so at least that there's some expression of my hijrat. That I moved away from Makkah elsewhere, and there's expression of my hijrat. So, and he even requested to be buried out of the haram. But they couldn't bury him out of the haram. But it was in the haram area, in another graveyard, in the outskirts of Makkatul Mukarramah, he has been buried there. So this is a great personality, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala, before passing away, he even mentioned, he made dua, he said, "Oh Allah, you know why I like to stay away, I like life. I only like life because I used to enjoy my rozas. Allah, you know, I only liked life because I like to stay awake at night and make Qiyamul Layl and engage myself in the ibadat of Allah." So Allah Tabaraka grant us a tawfiq and hidayah to value these great personalities. The love of the Sahaba. Just look at the biography, who they were, what they were, how they lived their lives, and where are we, where are they. In spite of our distance, there's one thing that can link us up, is our love for them. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make our maghfirat because of our love for the Sahaba, inshallah. Allah grant us tawfiq and hidayat also to emulate the sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inshallah. Now we'll be making the zikr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and alhamdulillah, we'll be making the zikr for the past few nights. The whole idea was that it would be an exercise. It's an exercise. So it's something that we carry on even after the month of Ramadan. You see, when a person is doing business and he gets some profit, so he doesn't just sit back like that. That profit will be consumed. And then he probably may be at a loss, especially if the capital is eaten up. So what if we achieved anything in the month of Ramadan, we got into a habit of making some zikr, that is our profit. So take it and build onto that. And wherever there's zikr gatherings after the month of Ramadan, then go and join the zikr gatherings and enhance on that. Go forward with that and try to increase our zikr. The whole quality of our life will change. Our ta'alluq with Allah will also build up. We also will feel good. We'll enjoy a more wholesome and more quality life. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Recite 3 times.